Welcome back to Experience Architecture, the Future and State of Loyalty and CRM Marketing. This is podcast number 4. I'm here with Michael McCarthy. He is the co-founder and CEO of Inkit. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's great to have you here. Michael and I are sitting in Minneapolis. It's still a little muggy. It's a little hot. We're sipping. Michael's got a cider. I've got a Fulton beer. We're just enjoying a Friday afternoon. So, Michael, for the folks on the phone who don't know what Inkit is, how did Inkit become a thing, and what is that thing?
Oh, man, two questions in one.
It's a question sandwich.
First off, Inkit, we'll talk about Inkit first. So Inkit is a direct mail marketing automation platform. And what we provide is the ability for marketers to seamlessly create and design a direct mail piece inside of their browser. And once they have that designed, we enable a complete marketing automation structure where these marketers can then take our platform and connect those direct mail pieces into their loyalty programs or their omni-channel marketing platforms. So think like a Salesforce Marketing Cloud or an Iterable or one of these loyalty platforms. And from there, they can actually trigger and programmatically automate direct mail all on a one-to-one, fully personalized scale. So it's a pretty big value prop from the old way that it used to be done.
Absolutely. And talk about, without necessarily getting into specifics, but talk about some of, your clients and what you guys have done for them and what it means when you guys talk about like personalized direct mail.
Yeah. So our clients find the biggest benefit in our platform from the time savings, and they save a lot of money. They save a lot of time from using our platform. And so the way that direct mail used to previously be done was if a company, let's say you're a marketing manager at a Birchbox or even a company like Target, you used to have to go to a Madison Avenue style agency, or you used to have to go directly to a printer in order to send out a direct mail piece. Everything was done in campaigns or batches. So there were order minimums, there were all sorts of other limitations and constraints. Many times, too, these printers and ad agencies also are not able to personalize things. So they'd print out the same piece of copy, the same piece of direct mail for every single person. So it was not a one-to-one experience. Where the companies that we're finding see a lot of value in our platform are the more millennial, really not just millennial, but also like omni-channel companies that are wanting to innovate and get better and streamline things and save money. And a lot of these companies find value in being able to talk with their customers on a one-to-one level. And so kind of how they do that right now is they're able to use our platform and like fully automate these capabilities, all triggered and on demand. A lot of values, I'm sure you can imagine.
So you guys don't have to print a minimum of 50 orders, 100 orders, 500 orders. When I say print one, you guys print off one.
Yes. In fact, the way that we actually are set up from a technology perspective is we're set up to only print one at a time. So for every single direct mail piece that comes through, we're able to actually optimize and completely personalize those postcards on a one-to-one level. And so if you can imagine, if you have a programmatic action or a trigger or something set up inside of your loyalty platform or even your omni-channel lifecycle management tool, as soon as, say Joe forgets to open that email or has been inactive for 30 days or churns as a customer, these companies can set up triggers or actions to like automatically trigger a direct mail piece that goes out to Joe. And this is all done fully automated. There's no need for human intervention. And it's basically streamlining companies' process. And really at the core, what's really, really cool about it is it's taking direct mail and it's putting it into a digital type of workflow or digital channel. So now you have all of these channels working synchronously together, which is I guess, kind of the magic.
It's absolutely magic. So the first time I met Michael over here at the Minneapolis Club in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shockingly, he was showing me a couple of their pieces, and it's like the homepage of a website, but on a postcard. So when I say that, the best modern loyalty-focused, CRM-focused websites had all of your content personalized. So based on what I bought last time on Amazon, you know, Amazon's the one that gets put down the most. That's what I see on my homepage when I log into Amazon. When you get a piece of direct mail from Inkit, it's based on your purchase history. It's based on, you know, what the preferences of the company that they're working with. It's like looking at a web page, but it's in a piece of direct mail. It actually feels relevant. So
totally.
What was the biggest technological hurdle you all had in getting Inkit off the ground? What was the biggest problem you guys had to solve from a tech perspective? I'm going to ask you about this perspective next. But tech perspective, what's the biggest one you had to solve?
I think the biggest tech perspective we had to solve was, well, I think there's two answers to that. I think the first answer is the problem that we're really solving at the core is we're eliminating the need to have an actual like direct mail agency or a Madison Avenue style agency or even this mechanical Turk type of process where people literally had to send CSV files back and forth with their printer or CSV files back and forth with their ad agency. At the core, that's really what we're solving. We're enabling companies to synchronize their direct mail alongside their email, their mobile push, their SMS, all of their other omnichannel channels. So that was the first thing that we had to solve. So we were able to overcome that one pretty quickly. I think the biggest one is actually a more recent technology thing. We built our product out very early on and experienced a lot of success quite quickly on. And so when we built our first initial product, it was very very basic and was kind of what they call an MVP or minimum viable product. And so in the last few months here, we've actually had to go back and almost refactor, recreate our product to make it more architecturally sound for, you know, the largest enterprises in the world who are looking to send out millions and millions of mail pieces. And it wasn't so much a challenge as it was just we had to almost take a couple steps back and start to look at how do we make a product that can go from 20 customers to 10,000 plus customers in the next, you know, 12 to 36 months here. So it's all about scale, and we want to make sure that we build the best product that can scale up quickly to hit, you know, all different types of company sizes across the market.
Gotcha. So you already answered this in part, but I just want to make sure we hit it on the head. What was the biggest business challenge you guys encountered bringing this to market? So you talked about agencies. You're replacing DM agencies, direct mail agencies, in part. Mm-hmm. You are probably, in some situations, in some companies, replacing entire departments of people that managed the process of sending the pieces to the printer and getting them back in the printer and making sure they got shipped out, you know, project managers or, you know, whoever's in that marketing department that was focused on direct mail. Was that the biggest challenge in engaging these new customers, or was it something else?
Yeah, so I think you actually kind of hit it on the head. I think the biggest challenge is many times that we'll see is actually companies who are not organizationally structured properly. And so because our product is so innovative and essentially it's a greenfield market, there's nobody else out there doing what we're providing. Many times at legacy companies, they're still thinking of direct mail as its own silo or as its own department or its own team. And many times these companies, the direct mail teams are not communicating with the omnichannel teams or with the loyalty teams. They're more or less kind of on their own island. And so I think one of the biggest things, and we're trying to do, you know, we're also trying to educate companies about this, is how do companies think more holistically and start to think about omnichannel, where direct mail, email, all these things should be working together. They shouldn't all be channel specific and they really should all be communicating in like more of a synchronous type of form. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's been one of the biggest biggest things. It's very similar to the early days of CRM systems, believe it or not. There used to be, at very, very large companies, people used to keep CSV files or Excel sheets of all of their contacts. Mm-hmm. And they would have literally, you know, tens of people who would manage these Excel sheets. And when the first CRM companies came in, you know, think of like the Salesforces or even the Siebel systems or these types of companies very, very early on, they had those same types of challenges where they were coming to these organizations and basically saying, we're going to automate and streamline. And, you know, maybe you don't need 20 people to do this role. Maybe you only need one person now managing the CRM. And so we have a very, very similar type of thing that we're also doing with these direct mail departments as well through, you know, the use of automation.
That is super cool. But yeah. it's also a huge challenge. But yeah. it's still
fun though. It's a good challenge.
Super cool. So how in part, and obviously you can't reveal specifics for specific clients, but how does the magic happen in terms of the personalization on the direct mail pieces? Were you guys getting that data? How are you consulting and working with your clients to bring that together? Because I mean, despite us in sort of the digital entrepreneurial, you know, sort of, you know, quote unquote bleeding edge tech companies that you and I at least maybe kid ourselves into thinking that we represent. You know, to us, personalized content, targeted offers, you know, one-on-one communications with customers is table stakes. But I still have conversations with clients today who do not have, you know, personalized content on their websites. They're not taking the information they know about the client and serving that up. Then doing that in direct mail, I assume you're running into a lot of those same challenges as well. So how does that magic come to happen? How do you guide your client through the experience of, okay, so we're actually, if somebody ordered, you know, meat on a, you know, their meal service site, we're going to, on their next direct mail piece, have a bunch of steaks. How do you get them to that place?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. So imagine our platform, imagine the ability to log into a website where you actually have a drag and drop WYSIWYG builder. So think almost very similar to like a Wix or a similar type of website editing tool. Inside of our builder, customers can actually design their own direct mail piece as well as upload different files and different types of image types. From there, the way that they're able to personalize it is they're able to insert different types of tags. So for instance, it could be a first name tag, it could be a last name tag, it could be a product SKU tag. It could also be a custom data tag, which could be essentially anything in the universe. And once they insert those tags, then what we do, we're really the data kind of flows seamlessly, is we have a couple different ways. The first way to get the data to populate those tags would be through our open API. And our open API enables companies that, you know, really anybody who has any sort of database to pipe that data in through those API feeds. The second way would be through our own file uploader. So we have an uploader built into our platform where companies can actually import some sort of a CSV file or a file type directly into Inkit. And then the third way is a really, really cool way as well, which is actually through our integration partners. So we currently have partnerships with HubSpot, we have partnerships with SailThrough, and we also have partnerships with Iterable and soon to be Salesforce. And those partnerships enable a marketer to actually log into their Salesforce or their Iterable marketing automation tool. And from those other platforms themselves, they can actually add Inkit or add direct mail directly into their Iterable or Salesforce lifecycle management tool. So all of that data and the actual population of, you know, hey first name or hey Joe, we saw that you purchased a insert product type, it could be a steak, whatever, all of that's happening seamlessly behind the scenes with those integrations. So those are kind of the three main ways.
Oh, that's so cool. What has been the client feedback?
Client feedback has been an overwhelming success so far, which is amazing. So we currently have a extremely, extremely full pipeline to the point of where we're actually turning away customers, which is a great problem to have for an early stage startup. Where we find customers have the most value, or where we add the most value, is companies who are thinking about LTV or lifetime value of their existing guests or customers. And so there's been a lot of studies out there, Joe, where You know, companies like McKinsey or Bain or BCG have found that acquiring a new customer costs anywhere from 5 to 25 times more expensive than retaining an existing customer. And so there's a lot more value to be had with marketing dollars through the use of retention and loyalty programs. So what I mean by that is it's a lot cheaper and cost effective to get a previous buyer to come back to your site to rebuy or repurchase from you again, and also increase their basket size or their purchase basket. And so companies that are really focused on lifetime value find a lot of value in our product, using it to re-engage lapsed customers or people who haven't ordered in a certain amount of days, or maybe even it's a loyalty program where on their 10th order they receive, you know, some sort of special offer or coupon on their next purchase. So that's really kind of where we add the value to these companies.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so cool. So as a loyalty guy, I have to ask you about, you know, sort of the loyalty side of things and the analytics side of things. Has your product, has the targeted personalized direct mail pieces, have any of your clients shared with you kind of some stats on, you know, how effective this was over their previous direct mail program?
Yes. And so even to add to that too, we will be releasing a analytics and actual like a direct mail tracking type of functionality into our platform sometime here in the next 6 to 12 months, which is going to be really, really exciting because we're going to be able to actually solve that attribution problem, which nobody is doing anywhere right now for direct mail. Back to your question about the actual statistics, we find that companies, we actually have a local food company in town here who's using it for delivery services. They recently ran a program where they had a 19% redemption rate on these actual postcards that they sent out. So from an actual cost per acquisition side, it ended up being below $4 is what they ended up paying, you know, per each new activated customer. So if you think about it that way, if they, you know, they're basically paying less than $4 per new customer to come back to their site. So they had a 19% redemption rate, which is pretty insane. On average, a lot of our customers typically experience anywhere between 8 and 12 to 13% redemption rates on these direct mail pieces when they're used for retention and lifecycle management types of campaigns. So even to put it in perspective, again, let's say a company spends $100 and they're getting they might get, you know, 250 postcards for $100, give or take. They might see now, you know, let's say it's 10% of those 250, that's 25 new customers who have come in, and that CAC or the cost per acquisition is about $4. I mean, that's incredible from a marketing.
That's
a marketer's dream, essentially.
I mean, because the people who say, you know, incorrectly, at least certainly you and I don't believe this, but people who say direct mail is dead and who quote the 1%, you know, response rate are not thinking about direct mail the way you guys do.
I don't think they're just not thinking about direct mail, but I also think what they're not understanding is that each individual has a channel preference. So the way that I like to best describe it is 20 years ago, or even like, you know, beyond 20 years ago, marketing was a one-to-many where companies sent out the same message to everybody. In the last 10 years, or maybe even like 10 years ago, companies started to get smarter and they said, okay, we're going to segment customers and we're going to start to put people into batches or campaigns. And that's what a lot of big companies still do, Joe. Mm-hmm. The next evolution is what a lot of the more modern companies are doing today. And that's where it's one-to-one type of marketing. And they're using platforms, you know, such as Salesforce Marketing Cloud or Interval or loyalty platforms such as yours to actually do that one-to-one. And what we're finding is that every single individual, whether, you know, they're a consumer of Birchbox or Dairy Queen or whoever, each individual has a channel preference. And so some people are going to respond better to email. Some are going to respond better to text. Some are also going to respond better to direct mail. But how do you use each channel smarter and more optimally and more effectively? And let's face it, if you're not responding to your email campaign sequence that we've sent you through on, you know, some sort of a nurture sequence, then it probably makes sense to layer in direct mail as that, you know, touch point to try to see if we can reactivate you. And that's where we're trying to be smarter about the whole marketing lifecycle, omni-channel type of approach, which I think is super powerful and valuable.
I agree. The other thing that I'll say that has impressed me about the clients' work that I've seen that your company supports is it still doesn't replace powerful creative. So, you know, when you get a postcard and you're shifting through the junk mail, when you get the mail every day, and maybe it's because I'm a millennial, I just get less and less of the junk mail now, and I get more junk mail in my email folder, but I'm shifting through it. Looking at the pieces that you've worked with your clients to produce has been this gorgeous creative, and it's, you know, it's something that you stop and you pause, and it's in that split second. Am I going to order some Bite Squad today? You know, am I going to go, you know, get a Pizza Luce or something? I mean, Pizza Luce, which is, I don't think, one of your clients, not yet, anyways, you know, they get me all the time with their direct mail because mail comes in the afternoon, and then that's when we're thinking about not making dinner and ordering a pizza, and it's this catching, engaging creative. So
totally.
I think I couldn't agree with you more, and I wish I had something as catchy to say that each individual has its channel, their channel preference. I'm going to steal that. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Well, imagine this. So with the new analytics and platform that we want to roll out in the next 6 to 12 months.
Totally.
Imagine now if you're a marketer and you're able to, as that CRM manager, you're able to see the exact day that direct mail piece arrived in Joe's mailbox. Now you could follow up at 9 o'clock or 6 o'clock that evening with a text message or with an email saying, "Hey Joe, did you check your mailbox today?" And it's almost like a double take or a double punch on how to get Joe to actually sign up for that pizza.
Oh, that's crazy. So I mean, the possibilities
that's
are
what
really,
we want to get to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost at that point, and I say this in jest because I'm part of the same equation as you, just in a different channel. But it's that part where marketing almost can get creepy, right? You know, where you get the direct mail, and then, you know, you get a text message from Amazon 5 minutes later being like, "How do you like your package?" or, you know, whatever it is. And all of a sudden it's like, it's Amazon in my house. But it's that right balance of, you know, taking care of that customer and making sure that they, you know, they know that you sent them something. Because sometimes with direct mail, it can be so unpersonal.
Sure.
And I know when I'm just getting the batch that everyone else is getting. I get the letter from the insurance guys, or I get the, you know, coupons from CarX or whatever, I know I'm getting what everyone else is getting, you know. And I just expect, you know, something better from the brands than I actually engage with. So.
Yeah. We agree with you.
Absolutely beyond cool. Okay, last question that I try and end with my guests on the podcast is, you mentioned the analytics platform. What else is in store for Inkit in the next 6 months? So,
man, I can't give away all our secrets.
Yeah.
So in the next 6 months, we're very, very focused on building out our builder to make our builder just a very, very easy to use visual editor where people can log in and just, you know, have a blast building out different things. Some of the other features that are benefits that we're really thinking are going to add a lot of value are this ability to actually track your direct mail pieces so that, you know when they're actually arriving. We think that feature is going to be huge for omni-channel and loyalty marketers because, like we just said, you know, they now know that exact day that direct mail piece is arriving. And they can follow up with any sort of an SMS or maybe it's a mobile push or an email saying, you know, check your mailbox, we sent you this offer. So that's one of the big things that we've got on our roadmap in the next, you know, call it 6 months here, which is really, really exciting.
Oh, that is so super awesome. Well, Michael, thanks so much for doing this and for coming to hang out over here at Persuade. For those of you listening, Michael McCarthy and Inkit and all of their awesome information is linked below. Trust me, if you are a mid-sized to large company that wants to do direct mail better, like Michael said, they're busy, but I promise you he'll take your phone call because Michael is one of the hustlers in Minneapolis and San Francisco and New York scenes. He's literally everywhere at once. It's been amazing to watch him work. So get to know Michael. He's awesome. If you want to buy some CRM or some loyalty software, hit us up. We're always here. And thanks so much for listening. And thanks for being on it, Michael.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.